Not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. PRMI is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager, NMLS number 1067640. PRMI, NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 years or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for additional sources of income, this could be an answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your monthly payment and extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, and the first step in seeing if a reverse mortgage is right for you is to become educated on the product. I'll be happy to help with that. I'm Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage Incorporated, and if a reverse mortgage fits, then your life just got a whole lot easier. I specialize in reverse mortgages. My experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call me today. I'd love to help. 530-722-4579 or go to rich4reverses.com.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our urgent care clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to
12-2020. Welcome to the Guy Benson Show. I am Guy Benson, your host, political editor at townhall.com, Fox News contributor. Programming note, I will be co-hosting Outnumbered on Fox News Channel tomorrow, noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, that's FNC, so you can mark that down or set your DVR. Our website on the radio show, GuyBensonShow.com, all the ways to listen live, including across our great affiliates. We welcome in one of those new affiliates this week, AM 1290 Coyle in Omaha, Nebraska. On today's show, Jessica Tarloff will be here reacting to Vice President Biden's pick for his vice presidential running mate in the 2020 race, Kamala Harris. She will react. Jason Rantz will also join us from our Seattle affiliate, one of the talk show hosts there. He will bring us the very latest surrounding the resignation of the chief of police in Seattle. She has had enough of the madness. Details coming up with Jason. Also, Kristen Soltis Anderson on the latest polling in the 2020 race. That is all ahead here on the program. Fox News alert as we get going. Lots of breaking news. Let's start with our daily staple, coronavirus statistics. Confirmed cases in the United States, 5,119,711. That's confirmed cases nationwide. The death toll, 163,651. The Dow is up right around 300 points right now, getting closer to 28,000. The markets seem undeterred by a lot of chaos and sort of a brick wall when it comes to negotiations on Capitol Hill on COVID relief. We'll keep an eye on the markets. Meantime, another Fox News alert. Dueling events this hour. Coming up in just about 40 or 45 minutes, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are scheduled to make their first joint appearance. They will do so together in Delaware. It's a virtual appearance, so I don't think there's going to be necessarily some sort of a big crowd, but it is a significant appearance nonetheless, with the ticket appearing side by side for the very first time since the announcement came down yesterday. In the meantime, at the White House right now, I'm looking at my screen. I see President Trump, Vice President Pence, the Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, and Kellyanne Conway on the stage, and they are holding an event discussing some of the federal government's assistance to help facilitate the reopening of schools in the fall. That is an ongoing discussion right now. Let's listen to part of it. This is from the White House.
Subject education, but also opening our schools. And we have some of our great teachers and parents and a very representative group. And we also have some extraordinary experts with us. I'd like to maybe start off by asking our vice president to say a few words. And then if you would, Betsy and Kellyanne, and we'll go around and talk to some of the parents and teachers. And thank you all for being here very much. Appreciate it. Please.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank all of the educators and leaders who are here and a part of a conversation. President Trump made it clear from the time that we made our way through the difficult days of 45 days to slow the spread. The president said we want to work with states to open up America again. But to open up America, we've got to open up America's schools. And at the president's direction, we've literally provided billions of dollars already.
All right, so that's Vice President Pence moments ago at the White House talking about this journey towards reopening schools and the Trump administration's efforts on that front. They then transitioned to the education secretary, then Kellyanne Conway, and now they're going around the room and chatting with some of the educators and parents who have joined them for that conversation. And it is a really important one with lots of thorny complications. We touched on a number of them yesterday in the opening monologue. So we will continue to monitor that event happening right now live at the White House as we await this event in Delaware featuring former Vice President Joe Biden and his new running mate, California Senator Kamala Harris. We will be dipping into that certainly on this program. And on that front, I want to talk about this pick from Biden. We reacted to it in real time as the news broke yesterday on this show. We came back to it repeatedly throughout really the last half of the program after the announcement was made via Twitter and text message. I've had almost 24 hours to think it through and to sort of marinate in those thoughts. I've written a piece at townhall.com, which I strongly recommend you go check out. It's on my Twitter feed. It's on my Facebook page. It's my analysis, five thoughts on the Harris pick. As I mentioned yesterday, this is not a surprising pick. I've been asked multiple times on television, who's it going to be? What is your thinking on this? And I said, I think it's going to be, if I had to bet, my top pick for them is probably Kamala Harris. And the reason is she checked a lot of boxes on paper that they were looking for, and they are running an extremely safe campaign. I called it this prevent defense campaign on Special Report last night on Brett Baier's panel, where it's like you're a defensive coordinator. You're ahead by roughly a touchdown, 7 points, as a matter of fact, in this race. Let's not screw it up. Let's do something that's going to just keep the status quo in place while not ticking anyone off too much, not alienating anyone of the current coalition too much. He had already promised it was going to be a woman. Then the leaks started to come out almost exclusively about women of color being finalists. And in my mind, I said, okay, if it's not going to be a woman of color, they have set this expectation, and they're going to have a lot of controversy around that. So my interpretation was, as an analyst of this situation, it's going to be a woman of color, right? Or else they would have frantically pushed back with a counter-narrative saying, well, hang on, that's not our final list, and let's put out some trial balloons and make sure that people know that we're looking at this person or that person. They didn't do that, which was a telltale sign to me. Not only is it going to be a woman, as he promised, it's going to be a woman of color. And if it's a woman of color, now we're down to about three or four people who have a realistic shot of it. Karen Bass got absolutely decimated by Oppo Research. Stacey Abrams embarrassed herself, not for the first time. I think she was out of it pretty early on. She was way too thirsty. Then you had Tammy Duckworth, senator from Illinois. She was in the mix. And then it came down to those few reports about Susan Rice and Kamala Harris. I said, okay, Joe Biden might like Susan Rice. She's never run for anything. That is actually a risky pick. She's a lightning rod in a number of ways. All roads kept, in my mind, trying to put myself in the shoes of the Biden campaign based on this sort of basement, out of sight, out of mind, low risk, safe campaign they've been running, prevent defense. It just kept coming back, the roads leading back to one person, Kamala Harris. And so it came to pass. It's Kamala Harris. Now, I don't think it's going to matter that much in terms of moving voters. Whether it should is a different question, and I'll get to that in a second. But generally, I think that this is something that gets a lot of attention, and, you know, fairly so. The political media goes bonkers for it. Everyone talks about it, sort of this burst of excitement and coverage and so on. There might be a chance that this could really matter if the race were closer. Right now, it's not. If this becomes a margin of error race, where it looks like the swing states are right on a knife's edge, then absolutely factors like this and others, organization, spending, ground game, all of that can come into play. Right now, the Trump campaign needs to make up ground in order to put themselves right in the thick of it. They're not there right now. Now, there's two strains of thought on the Harris impact. Number one, it might actually help tighten the race. Why? Currently, the dynamic is Trump is out there constantly. All the oxygen is sucked up by him. All the attention is on him. So Joe Biden, I think, benefits from that because he's keeping his head down, barely out there at all by design. He is running as a generic Democrat from his basement, trying to have as little interface with people as possible. And he's got a great excuse to do it, which is coronavirus. But with Harris entering the race and renewed scrutiny on her positions, his positions, they're going to be out there and more in the news, that might remind some voters who are Trump weary but not dead set against Trump, it might remind them, oh yeah, this is a choice. This isn't just Trump yes or no. This is Trump or this other guy and his running mate. What could that administration look like? What would they do? What would their policies be for this country? And some of those answers may not be appealing to a lot of people. So that might be an argument that Kamala Harris and the upcoming convention will shake a lot of people into remembering, nope, it's not simply a referendum, it's a choice. That's one strain of thinking. The other strain of thought is, maybe, but the fundamental trajectory of this race is, what does the pandemic look like and what does the economy look like in October? And Kamala Harris has nothing to do with that. And that's generally where I come down, right? We have news cycles and controversies and Portland and the police and all this stuff. Judges, all of it matters. But if voters don't feel marked improvement against the virus and therefore with the economy, by the time they start going to the polls, I think Trump has basically no shot. But if they do, and things tighten again, then I think it's a real dogfight, and some of this stuff could come into play. I found it spectacularly hilarious that the New York Times greeted Kamala Harris with a tweet calling her a pragmatic moderate. I actually chuckled at this on Special Report last night. She is not a pragmatic moderate at all. She is out on the left side of her party, the left edge of her party. According to multiple metrics, she was rated as one of the most liberal or left-wing members of the United States Senate over the last couple of years. She is right there neck and neck with Liz Warren and Bernie Sanders. By one measure, she is farther to the left than Bernie Sanders, a self-described Democratic socialist, which is just basically a socialist. She is out there, right? She co-sponsored and embraced Bernie Sanders' plan to eliminate and ban private health insurance, which would take health plans away from 177 million Americans, the vast majority of whom are satisfied with those plans. She wanted single-payer, government-run health care. And then she just embarrassed herself trying to defend that position and understand her own position. She actively favors taxpayer-funded health benefits for illegal immigrants. She's in favor of a fracking ban, which would just crush jobs and spike the cost of energy and reverse a lot of the progress we've made. America is now an energy exporter, partially thanks to fracking. She has embraced the totally radical Green New Deal. And you take her health care plan plus her Green New Deal, we were talking $100 trillion over 10 years, which is a hard number to fathom. Right? That would be just those two programs, one plus one, equals $10 trillion per year. The federal government spends about $4 trillion right now per year. I mean, it's you can't even really explain how much money that is. And the horrible tax effects to even come close to paying for any of it. She's in favor of decriminalizing illegal border crossings. She's a fanatic on abortion, taxpayer-funded up to the moment of birth for any reason whatsoever. She said she would ban certain types of guns and restrict gun rights by executive order. Joe Biden challenged her actually at a debate saying you can't do that actually. You don't have the authority under the Constitution if you're president. And she actually literally laughed him off and said, yes, we can, little Obama slogan, and had a chuckle. She definitely has an illiberal authoritarian streak, a big one. She's praised AOC. AOC proposed a confiscatory 70% top tax rate. She called that a bold idea. That's good for the party, should be discussed. She's applauded massive slashes in funding to police departments, which is a big change from Prosecutor Kamala Harris. She has completely shifted on that issue because she saw where the party was headed. This is not a pragmatist or a moderate. This is a pretty hard leftist. By the way, she kind of, sort of suggested that Joe Biden was a racist during the debates. And she also said last year that she believed the accusers of Joe Biden, women. So that's a little awkward. I have some more thoughts on what this means for the Trump campaign and how they might come after the Biden-Harris ticket. I will expand on those thoughts as soon as we come back. Busy day, locked and loaded, Guy Benson Show.
Energetic, informed, fast-paced, Guy Benson Show. Eight conservative judges confirmed today.
That's awesome. I never get sick of winning.
I'm with you, though I am worried about this favored nation idea.
The one where a country installs socialist price controls?
Directly from countries with socialized medicine. Their policies will mean fewer new cures, less access to treatments, and lost jobs for Americans.
Gotta believe our guy will back us out of that. He puts America first.
Paid for by Americans for Tax Reform. Visit nopricecontrols.org.
Indeed knows you've got big goals for your business, and we understand hiring is a crucial part of that. You need to hire people who will make a real impact. Indeed can help you find those important hires faster while paying only for what you need without any long-term contracts. Thanks to our super flexible payment options, start finding your important hire today with a free $75 credit for your first job post and get in front of more quality candidates. Go to Indeed.com/high impact. That's Indeed.com/high impact. Terms and conditions apply.
These days, being prepared for the unknown is more important than ever. I'm sure you've noticed the world we live in today is anything but predictable. We could all benefit from something reliable right about now. Well, what could be more reliable than real gold and silver? I'm asking you that. I'm talking about real gold and silver that you can hold in your hands if you choose. Call the Oxford Gold Group and do it right now. Learn how easy it is to get real gold and silver sent securely to your hands, to your home, or have real gold and silver placed directly into your IRA, or maybe have a 401k or both. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-600-GOLD. They're waiting for you. Ask for your free guide on owning gold and silver. Don't feel like you got to know all about it. That's what the guide is for, and that's why it's free. So call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-600-GOLD. That's the Oxford Gold Group. I've been telling you about this. It's the only gold company that I trust. So call them right now. You have a pen? Call them right now at 833-600-GOLD, 833-600-GOLD. That's 833-600-G-O-L-D.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, in these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. The Fox News Rundown is a weekday morning podcast that dives deep into the major and controversial stories of the day. Hosted by the anchors of Fox News Radio. Subscribe now to hear a perspective of news you won't find anywhere else. Listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1987. Jim and Tammy Baker.
We can say we've learned a good lesson. We've learned it. Yeah. I hate that it took this many years to learn it. I'm getting a little old for starting over again.
I refuse to submit my family and my friends and innocent people and myself to further rumors and gossip. I believe I would have been a successful candidate, and I know I could have been a very good president, but apparently now we'll never know.
I realize there's a lot of folks around that think there's a loose cannon on the Gundeck estate at the NSC. People used to walk up to me and tell me what a great job I was doing.
In Robert Bork's America, there is no room at the inn for blacks.
and no place in the Constitution for women. And in our America, there should be no seat on the Supreme Court for Robert Bork.
She's crying and humming and sometimes singing. She goes to sleep at periods of time.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Staff at the Cincinnati Airport make the Dean's List for helping a family find their beloved stuffed animal. Now, before they sent the little stuffed toy Dalmatian back to its family in Florida, they took the little dog on an airport tour and posted the journey on social media. Airport employees found the toy left behind in the terminal, and spokesperson Mindy Kirshner says they snapped photos of the lost traveler outfitted in a mask at the airport's restaurants, on the runway, and with a real-life canine team. Meanwhile, Doug and Phyllis Ronco say they were driving to the St. Pete Clearwater International Airport to retrieve their son's stuffed animal. The toy is special to their son, Jaden's, because it was given to him on the day he was adopted. Thanks to all the staff who not only reunited the stuffed doggy with its owner, but took him on a tour of the airport for everyone to enjoy on social media. You all made the Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
We're a nation founded on principles, on freedom.
With leaders who've changed the course of human civilization.
When we take part in democracy,
we control our destiny.
We exercise our rights and hold our leaders accountable.
And we always speak our mind.
We may be separated by issues,
but we're united by a common truth.
America's ultimate power lies in her people.
Democracy 2020. It's in your hands. Fox News. America is watching.
I'm Guy Benson. We're back. Thanks for listening. Some more thoughts on Kamala Harris. We will get Jesse Tarloff's take coming up in the next segment for a Democratic perspective. I just want to say, I think Harris is really overrated as a politician. And this may not matter, right? But her pandering is cringeworthy. She couldn't even understand some of her own policy positions, and it was brutal to watch her, for example, try to explain her health care position. She couldn't. Sometimes when she's asked a tough question, she sort of laughs through it like it's a joke. It's a weird tick. I think it's off-putting. The high watermarks of her campaign were her rollout, big speech in Oakland, and then her racially tinged attack on Joe Biden over busing, where it turned out they actually agreed on the policy and it didn't really follow through or go anywhere. She didn't even make it into mid-December. She certainly didn't make it into 2020 as a candidate. She was one of the top-tier people. She got hammered by Tulsi Gabbard. Remember that. Then ran out of steam, support, and money and dropped out 2 months before a single vote was cast in those disastrous caucuses. So, I mean, the fact that she crashed and burned, fizzled, tells you something. Yes, she's been on the national stage. Yes, she's held statewide offices in the biggest state in the country, two of them. But it's extremely blue. When she ran for Senate, her general election opponent was a Liberal Democrat, because they take the top two of a jungle primary. It's that blue of a state, Democrat versus Democrat in the general election. She's never had to appeal to a non-heavily Democratic electorate ever. So I think she's overrated. She's not terribly good off the cuff a lot of the time. Now, as I said, it may not matter, but I think it should matter, because a few surveys have come out. A lot of Americans, a majority, don't think Joe Biden necessarily will last an entire term. A CNN analyst was already on Twitter talking about if and when Biden would step down as president. So the consequence of who he picks is actually really significant this time around. What kind of administration would he be presiding over? I think almost as a rubber stamp, with a lot of progressive people around him, a progressive Congress potentially. They just put whatever they want in front of him, he'll sign it, and it's the Biden administration in name only. Who he has running with him, Kamala Harris, matters, and I ran through in the last segment a lot of her positions. Even though they've nominated him, this party, in action and in spirit, the Democratic Party, already feels like it's largely in a post-Joe Biden era. I think his familiarity helps. He's kind of like this old-school Democrat. That's a reputation that presents a facade of moderation. But underneath is Kamala Harris and others, and it's much harder left. And maybe the Trump campaign is going to try that bank shot. What are you really getting if you get Joe Biden? We'll be right back with more after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Download and make it Hammer Time with Bill Hemmer.
Carl Rove, I think people have got to be careful about thinking about doing things that discourage people from working. There is a vitality and an integrity and a value in working. We are better people when we are working at something than we are by just simply lazing around. And if you've got a chance to work, by God, have the dignity of working.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Movie Profile with Fandango's Eric Davis, taking a look at the new streaming options as Disney Plus adds Muppets Now.
Hey, guys!
Oh, hi!
Think the Muppets meets YouTube. And so this is going to feature a lot of the same Muppets, your favorite Muppets, Kermit, Miss Piggy, the Swedish Chef. There's some new Muppets in there, too.
And Fandango Now has a new sports-inspired collection of classics called Big League Movies for even more ideas of what to watch at home.
We begin that list with a couple of my favorites, Love and Basketball by Gina Prince Bythewood. And if you are somebody who watched The Old Guard on Netflix, the Charlize Theron film, and you were like, this is really cool. What else has this director done? Well, one of her earlier films, Love and Basketball, is fantastic. Also, White Men Can't Jump. One of my personal favorites, Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes, Rosie Perez, about some street ball that happens in Venice, California. Also, Space Jam, which has a sequel coming out next year starring LeBron James. The original stars Michael Jordan.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
In times of trouble, when the world is on edge, your faith is always there for you. And at Fox Nation, we're helping to keep the faith every day with stories of hope.
Give it to God. He is doing this for a reason.
History brought to life.
This is Bethlehem, the site of the first Christmas.
And messages that keep you inspired.
Christ belongs to all people. He belongs to the whole world.
Fox Nation invites you to keep the faith while celebrating America every day. Start your first month now for just 99 cents.
Bonus track with Laura Ingle.
Taking you deep inside the music. Def Leppard fans know that guitarist Phil Collin is one of the most ripped rock stars around, often performing shirtless, showing off his six-pack abs. There's been a lot of workout videos released during coronavirus. Now rock fans can follow along with Collin's killer routine as Def Leppard has launched a new video series called 30-Day Fitness Challenge with Phil Collin.
What I'm doing today is the last kind of full-body workout.
Rockers can use the hashtag PhilCollin30 to find his videos and follow along with how he works on his exercises, diet, and overall health.
Salad, throw that in there. I don't need dressing.
The 62-year-old didn't start out as a fitness guru after years of playing hard, partying hard, and leading a self-described very unhealthy lifestyle, he decided to make a change. He said in his early 30s, he quit drinking and partying and hit the gym. And it shows. Laura Ingle, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1971, Charles Manson.
It came about by not having a family, by being born without a father. I'm on the wrong side of the law the minute I was born, and I stand strong inside of it.
The district attorney's office and I personally and the Los Angeles Police Department are all exceedingly happy with this verdict. We expected the verdict, but until that clerk reads the verdict, you never know.
I think the public's reaction has been, we did need to know this information. We had a right to know it.
Jim was buried in a simple ceremony with only a few friends present because those of us who knew him intimately wanted to avoid all the notoriety and circus-like atmosphere that surrounded the deaths of such other rock personalities.
I'd just like to say before we start off with the concert that to thank you all for coming here.
Peace now.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice. The husband of the Los Angeles district attorney is charged with a crime.
Get off of my porch right now. Get off.
David Lacey is seen on video pointing a gun at Black Lives Matter protesters outside the home he shares with his wife, LADA Jackie Lacey.
I will shoot you. Get off of my porch.
This happened in March, before the nationwide protests that followed the death of George Floyd. Lacey faces three counts of assault with a firearm, misdemeanors. The charges were brought by the California Attorney General. D.A. Lacey recused herself. She says her husband was trying to protect her after she had received death threats. This case is similar to one in Missouri, where a husband and wife were seen brandishing weapons as protesters marched past their home. They, too, are charged, but a key difference, Missouri has a law known as the Castle Doctrine that in many cases would make it legal to defend one's property. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
GuyBensonShow.com.
We are back. Thank you for listening. I'm Guy Benson. The website here is GuyBensonShow.com. The podcast is always free. We are awaiting the first joint appearance of the new Democratic ticket, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, from Delaware. It is scheduled for 15 minutes from right now, although we have some indications that that might get pushed back into the next hour. So we'll just keep an eye on all of that. In the meantime, I've given you my thoughts for the first half hour of the show on Kamala Harris. Of course, we reacted yesterday as well. Let's bring in a Democrat for her perspective. It's Fox News contributor and head of research at Bustle, Jessica Tarlov. Jesse, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Guy.
All right. Big picture thoughts.
Big picture, I'm excited. I'm actually more excited than I expected to be for something happening that I knew was going to happen. It was actually remarkably emotional for me when the ticket was announced. And I think part of that was the realization that we, A, have a complete ticket, but that it was more meaningful to me to have a woman on the ticket than I had thought. I was previously in the camp of, you know, don't box yourself into a corner, right, by saying I'm definitely going to select a woman, even though I think it's an important thing to have representation. And I understood, you know, the Obama team had leaked that they had wanted Andrew Yang, actually, to be strongly considered for the VP spot. But I got all the feels when it was announced, and to see a woman of color and the child of immigrants, it was really meaningful for me.
Okay, and what do you think it means for the party?
So my concern, and it's been this way since the last presidential election, is getting progressives to turn out. You know, a couple hundred thousand of them voted for Jill Stein because they thought that Hillary was a neoliberal corporatist shill, and that's putting it nicely. And Kamala Harris was a cop, right? A very fancy one, but she was in law enforcement, and she did put people away. And
and has sort of bragged about it for nonviolent crimes and even truancy and that sort of thing. I mean, she's really shifted away from that long track record because that's where the sort of the party's base has gone. But that track record is still there.
The track record still exists. I was reading an op-ed by a public defender in San Francisco who went up against Kamala Harris on a number of occasions when she was a district attorney in San Francisco, and the public defender was defending Kamala against these attacks and saying that actually she did always have progressive values, that she did work hard to eradicate the school-to-prison pipeline, that she didn't put nearly as many people away as is publicized, that it wasn't like kids going away for marijuana charges every day. You know, this will be debated, and it's certainly a good line of argumentation from Republicans, and it will come from some on the left. But I think generally you can focus on her support for LGBTQ rights, you know, her officiating the plaintiff in the Prop 80 case, their wedding in San Francisco, that she was against the death penalty. People said, you'll never win the DA's race like this. She did. And then she wouldn't put away a kid who killed a cop, wouldn't put support charges for the death penalty, even though Dianne Feinstein, a liberal champion, was pressuring her. You know, there are plenty of anecdotes that I think fly in the face of that accusation. So it's a layered story, to say the least.
What do you think about this notion that she couldn't even garner enough support to get even to the Iowa caucuses, right? She made a big splash, right, had a big rollout. She had a moment in that first debate going after, ironically, Joe Biden on a racial issue, and then sort of petered out. People sort of thought she was inauthentic. She couldn't figure out a health care plan, and she dropped out even months before the Iowa caucuses came around, all the way back in 2019. Is there this big groundswell of excitement for someone who couldn't even excite enough Democratic voters to sustain a campaign into 2020?
No, because it's not just about Kamala Harris. It's about the ticket, right? And the visual of the ticket, the passing of the torch to someone younger, someone more progressive, that's built into what's going on here. There are a lot of people with a reasonable expectation that Joe Biden won't be running again in 2024, and then it will be Kamala Harris, if we're lucky enough to win, taking the place. I'm not concerned about the enthusiasm issue. It was an incredibly crowded field with a number of qualified people for it. She did do well in the groups that she was resonating with. It was with younger voters. It was white college-educated women who we absolutely need to turn out, especially if the president's going to keep tweeting racism about the suburbs, right? Speaking of the suburban mother, is that what it was? Suburban housewife, what
yes.
he tweeted today and
yes.
what he likes to say. And that's who Kamala Harris speaks to. That was her bait in all of this. So I'm not concerned about the enthusiasm. I'm concerned about people having access to voting and making sure we get enough drop boxes set up all over the country that people can do that safely and securely.
And that the ballots are actually secure, which is one of my concerns. What about something that I already alluded to, which is the race-based attack from Harris against Biden on busing and segregationists, and maybe even thornier? She said in 2019 that she believed his female accusers, who have accused Biden at that time of inappropriate, unwanted touching and that sort of thing. It kind of feels like the Me Too fundamentalism maybe is a little passe on the Democratic left. I mean, they're going to put Bill Clinton in primetime, right? Bill Clinton, there's a whole litany of Me Too sins alleged against him, including, you know, a real implication allegedly in this.
A rape charge.
Rape charge, the Jeffrey Epstein pedophile island. I mean, they're putting him in primetime at the convention. Kamala Harris is excitedly joining the ticket of a man who she has said she believes has acted inappropriately in sexual touching with women. I mean, how do they square that circle to make nice and say that doesn't matter anymore?
So I want to make sure that we're drawing a line in the sand between what Bill Clinton has been accused of and what Joe Biden has been accused of. And Jill Biden did an interview with CBS Sunday Morning this weekend where they asked her, I was really impressed, the reporter brought up these charges, and she said Joe listened to these women and he accepted that he violated personal space and he was touching women on their shoulders, neck, whatever it was, and made them uncomfortable, and he's learned from it. And I don't think that this is something that affects Kamala Harris's place on the ticket or her authenticity in terms of support for the Me Too movement. As to Bill Clinton speaking,
well, hang on. I want to point out, yes, Bill Clinton has been accused of significantly serious things from multiple women.
Yeah.
Joe Biden also has, by one woman, Tara Reid. I'm not sure that those allegations on balance are credible or deserve to be treated as if he's guilty. I know that was
right.
The standard for a long time. If a woman says it, you believe it, period. That was never my standard, not with Brett Kavanaugh, not with Joe Biden. And I think there were a lot of issues with Tara Reid's story and some of her recollection and her history and her potential motives or what have you. But there was, just to be clear, there was a much more serious sexual assault allegation against Biden. Again, though, I don't think that it's nearly substantiated enough to be treated as something that would be disqualifying. But you were about to say Kamala Harris is joining the ticket of a guy that she said, I believe these women on inappropriate touching, and she's going to accept accept a nomination for vice president, apparently at a convention where a twice accused rapist is going to give a keynote speech. I'm not necessarily putting this on her. I'm just wondering, does Me Too actually mean something to the Democratic Party, or was that sort of a craze?
I think that it wasn't a craze. I certainly don't feel that way. And I think that Bill Clinton is very much a figure that represents a generational divide. Like, if you ask millennials, you want Bill Clinton at the convention, I think 90% would say no, right? That he doesn't represent where we are now. When you look back at the crime bill, for instance, when you consider the Me Too allegations,
he was the second most recent Democratic president. It's
not like ancient
history. Yeah.
I understand, but we've moved fast, which you point out regularly. you know, for millennials and Gen Zs that, you know, I'm conservative for my generation, right? So then think about most people being more of an AOC.
Well, among Democrats. Yeah, you're on the more.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, I'm certainly not a conservative Republican.
No.
But I think that Bill Clinton, especially when this primary was so much about Joe Biden's support from older African Americans, and remember, Bill Clinton was called our first black president, right? And that's where his support came from, you know, an Arkansas native, someone who completely owned the South in his two elections in 92 and 96. He has a very strong connection to a lot of people that got Joe Biden to be the nominee and to where the Democratic Party is right now. So I think it's a real generational divide story. And I think that, you know, there are only so many years when this will continue. And I don't think that if this were to happen again, if there were to be a figure in the party who's accused of what Bill Clinton is accused of, that they would be welcomed into the fray in perpetuity, no matter how good the economy was during their presidency, let's say.
Ramesh Panuru, writing at Bloomberg, has this sentence in his analysis of the Harris pick, quote, "It's worth taking a moment to appreciate the fact that a woman with black and Indian heritage can be considered a safe pick." Jim mm-hmm. Garrity at National Review writes this, you know, whatever else you think of Kamala Harris, it's pretty amazing and awesome that immigrants can come to the U.S., meet, marry, have a child, and their daughter can grow up to be a DA, state attorney general, U.S. senator, and then join a presidential ticket. I think that that's all true. I think those are points well taken. And I, at least from my perspective, feel like it's some pushback. Her own story, her achievements, represents pushback against, I think, a lie that some people are embracing, that America is fundamentally bigoted and unjust and ugly and nasty. And I think the rise in prominence of someone like Kamala Harris, it doesn't prove that there's no injustice or that you were a perfect country, but I think it kind of shows that we're a pretty amazing country when it comes to opportunity for people.
I think that that's right, and that's why you see that this is the number one place that people want to go. But I think the argument that the Biden-Harris ticket will make and how I feel about it is that there are people in positions of power right now who don't want to make it easy for folks like Kamala Harris's parents to come and do what they did and who do have a xenophobic attitude towards immigrants.
Well, I think they were both legal immigrants. They are legal immigrants, though.
No, I understand that, but we have Trump administration actually cracking down on legal immigration as well. I'm just talking about an attitude towards people from other places. I believe that we are becoming more of a closed-off society, that we are looking at people who look different than us with more skepticism and anger than we did before, and I think that that's the case that they need to make, you know, that we – with Trump's emphasis on borders, you know, we need borders, we need borders, we need borders, you know, reaching out to what the suburban housewives and making a pitch directly to white America that black America is coming for you and that you will be less safe if there are black Americans in your neighborhoods, that does signal that this administration is not representing the Harris story.
Well, except,
right?
I think a lot of what Republicans are saying, including the Trump administration, is this chaos in some of these cities, and especially in the Pacific Northwest, a lot of the most violent upheaval is being carried out by white people, radical white leftists, not black people, people who are stampeding into the BLM movement, and there are definitely radicals involved in the BLM movement, but I think that talking about law and order and seeing what's happening in those cities, it's a legit issue to raise. And on the question of borders, I mean, you have Kamala Harris, who has embraced, now joining this ticket, she has embraced this notion of decriminalizing illegal border crossings. And, you know, I'm fairly squishy on immigration. I'm open to a DREAM Act and compromise. When you start talking about decriminalizing illegal immigration, I am gone. Like, it pushes me farther in the Trump direction. Go ahead.
But Biden is against that, and she's dropped it since. Like, that's not
– well, he's against that, but they're both in favor of free health care for illegal immigrants. Biden has said that there's going to be a moratorium on all deportations for a while after he's elected, and they will only deport people who then commit felonies thereafter. To me, that is not really enforcing the border anymore, and that's the, quote, moderate position, right? That's – That's an issue, I think, for a lot of moderate people, including some of those, drumroll, suburban housewives, right?
I'm sure that it is. Yeah, absolutely. I was more making the case that the president's rhetoric, I think, is falling short of understanding the demographics of this country right now. It is not just white people that live in suburbs. Black and brown people live in suburbs as well. They have the same goals and aspirations for their families, right, to send them to good schools and to make sure that they succeed in life. And the rhetoric from the Trump administration, it will never be forgotten when he said, you know, Mexicans are not sending their best, criminals and rapists, that there was a Muslim ban. Those are things that last a lifetime in politics. So, yes, you're right. Is the Democratic position on immigration more to the left than it has been ever before? Yes. And maybe more to the left than you or I might necessarily want it to be? Sure. But that doesn't mean that it's, A, not in touch with where the party is, or that it's an issue that people who are supporting the Biden-Harris ticket can stomach because they're getting all these other things, and that the alternative is so putrid to them. I mean, the xenophobia and the cruelty when you think about policies that the Trump administration has put into place, and you look at, and I know that there were a few kids in cages during the Obama administration, and he was the deporter-in-chief. But when you think about these widespread policies, ICE officers going into people's homes, taking people on suspicion of something, not even having proven that they did anything wrong.
Yeah, but there's, there have been excesses that I've criticized, but I think there's also overcorrection. And I think you're right that the Democratic Party, this reflects where they are. And to me, that's part of the problem. We've got to leave it there for now, though. We're up on a break. Jessica Tarloff, okay, our colleague here at Fox News, she's also head of research at Bustle, here on the Guy Benson Show, reacting to the Harris pick by Joe Biden. The two of them are expected to speak momentarily in Delaware. We are monitoring that on the Guy Benson Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a new generation of talk. Generation of talk. Guy Benson.
Hiring can be challenging, but ZipRecruiter makes it fast and easy. We talked to COO Dylan Miskowitz, who needed to hire a director of coffee for his company, Cafe Altura.
We would look through lots of applications for people who were not qualified. It definitely felt like we were looking for a needle in a haystack.
So Dylan started using ZipRecruiter and found his perfect candidate in a few days. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free.
We're very impressed with how quickly we had quality candidates apply through ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is a powerful tool in our hiring process.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/search. That's ZipRecruiter.com/search. ZipRecruiter.com/search.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's health care costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by August 31st, and you can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 844-47-BIBLE. That's 844-47-BIBLE. 844-47-BIBLE.
Fox News Radio on demand on the Fox News app. Download the app and just click listen. Plus, when you swipe left, you can listen to your favorite Fox News talk shows live.
Wow, that's huge.
Swipe right for the latest Fox News Radio newscasts on demand.
Serious questions must be answered.
I'm Dave Anthony.
That's not all. Hear your favorite podcasts from Dana Perino, Bill Hemmer, Martha McCallum, Brett Baer, and many more. Fox News Radio on the Fox News app. Download it today. America's listening to Fox News.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with the Fox Celebrity Profile with director Rob Savage and actress Haley Bishop of the new horror film Host. They didn't let the pandemic stop them from making a movie. They got creative and shot their new project entirely over Zoom.
It plays out in real time. It's a 40-minute Zoom call. It has to feel just like you and your group of friends. And what would you do if all this weird stuff started happening?
It centers around six friends who unleash an evil spirit after holding a seance over a video conferencing call during coronavirus lockdown. The scares and stunts were filmed remotely by the actors from their own homes using their own cameras.
We put their iPhones and we like attached them to the back of the laptop so that we were filming on the iPhones as well as the Zoom in case the Zoom went down.
Being able and ready to just kind of jump into the idea and make use of all the things we had in our house.
We ended up getting special effects people to make us these crazy gadgets that would make doors explode open and cupboards explode like a poltergeist was playing with them.
The film is now available on demand on Shudder. Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
It's one of the deadliest plane crashes in U.S. history. Now, Fox Nation is giving you an intense inside look at the investigation.
A plane just doesn't drop out of the sky.
We knew from the very beginning we were going to have to reconstruct this airplane.
The victims and the questions still unanswered.
You had the bomb theory, you had the missile theory, then you always have sabotage.
Fire over the Atlantic, the mystery of TWA Flight 800. Available now on Fox Nation. Get a copy of Sean Hannity's new book when you join today. Go to FoxNation.com for details.
We are back. I'm Guy Benson, Fox News Alert. We are awaiting remarks, the first joint remarks, from the newly minted, freshly formed Democratic ticket in 2020. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be appearing at AI DuPont High School in Wilmington, Delaware. They were supposed to be underway 6 minutes ago, but they are late. Not necessarily surprising. Things sometimes run behind schedule in campaigns. It took Joe Biden forever to get to the point of announcing a running mate anyway, so we can wait a few more minutes. But they will be making this appearance. We've seen the live shot of this, basically this empty high school gymnasium. There's the American flag. There's podiums. There's a teleprompter. It looks like there are flags of all 50 states in the backdrop as well. And we will see this ticket together for the first time since, I guess, they have been on stage a few times, not just in debates, but Harris dropped out, eventually endorsed Joe Biden. They've campaigned together, but not like this, not as a ticket. And we are expecting sometime in the coming minutes, sometime in the next hour, that they will come out and greet the American people and bring a message, and we will bring it to you live here on the Guy Benson Show. Another hour is straight ahead. Stay with us.
Hey, if you look around, you watch the television, everything's different in the world today. We'd benefit from something reliable, something we can depend on, you can rely on. Well, what can be more reliable in your life, in your bank account, than real gold and silver? It's gold and silver that you can actually hold in your hands, and you can put in your IRA or 401k. It's really easy. I know what you're saying. I never did that before. Where do I start? Well, that's why I want you to call the Oxford Gold Group, and you could do it right now. You'll learn how easy it is to get real gold and silver sent securely to your home, or how you can have real gold and silver placed in your retirement accounts, whatever that may be. So call the Oxford Gold Group. They're really cool at 833-600-GOLD and ask for your free guide on owning gold and silver. The Oxford Gold Group is the only gold company that I trust. You know what? And you should too. They'll walk you through it. They don't expect you to be some business savvy international trader. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-600-GOLD to speak with a gold and silver expert. That's 833-600-GOLD, 833-600-G-O-L-D.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1983. President Ronald Reagan.
How they preached the supremacy of the state, declare its omnipotence over individual man, and predict its eventual domination of all peoples on the earth. They are the focus of evil in the modern world.
To ignore the great majority of the American public who enjoys rock music is just sheer stupidity.
We had a good deploy, and Sunshield's closing now. We'll be with you in a minute.
That's great, Sally.
Our immediate challenge to this atrocity is to ensure that we make the skies safer and that we seek just compensation for the families of those who were killed.
Never again!
man should a black or Hispanic or woman or Jew because of race, religion, or sex be limited or inhibited as we grow? The aristocracy is not the limit. The sky is the limit. Our time has come.
News as it happens then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.